Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Not without a fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance by D.W. Duke shares the true story of a Polish Jew's journey to become a resistance fighter, intent on seeking justice for wrongs while attempting to survive the atrocities of the Holocaust. A stirring story of survival against a beastly adversary. D.W. Duke is an experienced California trial attorney who earned a Bachelor of Arts from the University of Michigan and a Juris Doctor from Washington University School of Law. He lectures regularly to various professional institutions, holds a fourth-degree black belt conferred by the World Taekwondo Federation in South Seoul. D.W. is a South Korea. D.W. is a freelance editor for Oxford University Press, is the author of 6 books, dozens of articles on various legal topics ranging from real estate law to human rights, an accomplished musician who plays keyboard and guitar. D.W. Duke, author of the critically acclaimed biographical novel Not Without a Fight, A Polish Jew's Resistance, is our guest on This Week in America. D.W., welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's wonderful to be here.
This is such an important book and so well done. Let's go back to the beginning on this. Where did you get the idea? What caused you to write a book like Not Without a Fight?
Well, it's an interesting story. I had a client who was a distant cousin of mine who was working on a civil rights matter with me. I was representing him. And during the course of our conversations, we began talking about family. We both have Bieberstein ancestry. And he began telling me about his father, who was a Holocaust resistance fighter, survivor and a resistance fighter. And the more we talked, the more I began to realize that this was a book that really should be a story that should be made into a book and eventually a motion picture. So at that point, we decided to go forward and took several years, had several meetings with Cass Bieberstein, who was the subject of the book, the person who the book's about. I had several meetings with him, and we put the book together and published it.
And it's an amazing story, and as you say, and we'll talk about this, this really is a story that needs to be told. We've got the book, Not Without a Fight, a documentary series that we'll touch on as well during the course of the program. Give me sort of a short summary and overview of what the book is about, because it's really a personal story, it's a gripping story, so well researched. What is the book about? Short, to give us a synopsis on what the story that will unfold as we read Not Without a Fight.
Sure. Cass Bieberstein was 8 years old when Germany invaded Poland on September 1st, 1939. Leading up to that date, the family had talked about the possibility that Germany might invade, but nobody really believed it would happen. Cass's father was a very wealthy businessman. He owned a publishing company. He owned a factory that made fine china. They lived in a mansion in Warsaw, and they had numerous other houses and properties throughout the country of Poland. And what occurred when they were invaded, the family was within a few weeks ejected from their house because Oskar Schindler and his team of people wanted to use it to sell Jewish artifacts. So they ejected them from the house, and at that point they were forced to live in various apartments that the family owned for a period of time until eventually they were forced into the Jewish ghetto in Warsaw. Now, Cass, his grandfather was a major in the Polish army, and he had taught Cass how to shoot a rifle at a very young age. So even before the war, Cass was an expert marksman, and when they were forced into the ghetto, he joined the Jewish underground organization called ZAB and became a sniper for them. And then the book chronicles stories that occurred throughout the next, from 39 up through 45 when the war ended. And then after that, we talk about how the family got to the United States. But in essence, that's the story in a nutshell.
And it's amazing how quickly lives changed for not only Cass's family, but so many families there. The book is Not Without a Fight. The author is D.W. Duke. He's our guest on the program today. His website is holocaustfighter.com. And the book available at Amazon, all of the usual places, linked by going onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned the book is a biographical novel. Explain exactly what is a biographical novel and why do people write them? Why this style to write this book?
Well, biographical novels are essentially stories about the life of an individual. And it's a novel because you take the stories in their life and you create dialogue and put it into a storyline that people would enjoy. When I was in fifth grade, I was first introduced to this style of writing from a writer who had written a number of books about Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and George Washington Carver and different people. They're written for, maybe middle school, high school age students. But I read these books, and I thought it was a fascinating way to write because several things happen. One, it teaches you about history, which is very important today because so few people, the young people coming up, don't seem to be getting a good history education in most of the schools. So it teaches history, but at the same time, it makes it interesting. And they actually enjoy reading the story because it's written in a storyline. So in some ways, it's similar to what they call a historical fiction novel, except it's a biography about a specific person, focusing on that person and events in that person's life.
Talk about the author's responsibility. I mentioned the research that you did. You are taking these characters that that you write about extensively, so I'm sure you feel like you know these characters after a while, and you are putting dialogue there. You're putting words in their mouths. What is that responsibility like to make sure what I'm saying, what Cass is saying, for example, is something that Cass actually would say in real life?
Well, that's what you try to do if you're trying to do it the right way. You try to keep it as
yes.
close to history as you can. Of course, it is a novel, and people realize that there are certain things you won't be certain about, or certain items you won't have information about. So what you do at that point is just take your best estimate of what things might have been in that situation, what the dialogue might have been like, what may have occurred at that time. So that's why we say it's based on a true story, because the stories in it are true, but storylines are verbal language is added to it to give it a context that people can relate to.
When you were writing this book, were there surprises? What did you learn new about the Holocaust as you were writing this book, Not Without a Fight? Because all of a sudden, you've got all of this research there. You're talking with members of the family. What was this like for you? What did you learn in writing this?
Well, it was one of the things that really impressed me. And I had studied the Holocaust, and I had studied that time in history my whole life. Particularly with Jewish ancestry, my ancestors were not in the Holocaust, but it was just a matter of interest to me. But sitting down and talking on numerous occasions with an individual who actually lived it and was actually there and was actually fighting in the resistance, I just saw so many things, and I saw it in a different way. For example, one thing that I was aware of, but it never really came to my mind until Cass pointed it out to me, he said that the Jewish uprising in the ghetto in 1943 began on April 19 of 1943, and it ended May 16. So it lasted almost a full month. And during that time, the Germans were forced to bring troops from the Eastern Front to help put down the uprising. Now, what's fascinating about that to me was you're talking about a few hundred Jewish resistance fighters gave the German army that much trouble. Yet when Germany first invaded Poland, it took about the same amount of time to actually get Poland to surrender. So it's just amazing that they were able to put up that kind of fight for that long, just a few hundred people throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails and yes. things like that. But what really came home to me was what they experienced and the perception that they had. For example, the reason for the title of the book, Cass told me that he said, when we were there and we knew what was happening, knew what was coming, we knew that we believed we would die. And he said, when you believe you're going to die, it's just like an animal. It will do one of two things. It will submit or it will fight back. And he said, what many people don't know, because you never see it in Hollywood, you never see it in the books, he said, many, many, many people fought back in many ways, and the public is just not aware of it. And so that's why he wanted this story to be told, so people would know what it was like for those who actually fought back. So these are the kinds of things that I learned that I had not really thought through until I sat down and worked on the project. And my cousin Tom, Cass Bieberstein's son, he did a lot of the research to pull a lot of the information together that we used in the book. So I would say the in-depth study was much more than I'd ever done before.
How important is it, the chance to sit and talk with people like Cass? Boy, those days are going by very quickly as we lose so many of these precious people that went through all of this. And I gather it's very important to them, and people from survivors that I've talked to, interviewed over the years, really important to tell the story. And I assume that was the case with Cass. First of all, you were privileged to have a real human telling you the story, not just reading in a history book, but someone who lived it. And carrying on telling the story is very important to them and to you, isn't it?
It is very important. Some of them, you know, don't really want to talk about it, but the majority I've met do want to talk about it because they want to get it out. Now, for many years, Cass would not talk about it outside of the family. He just kept it inside. And in fact, when they moved to the United States from Germany, they changed their name from Bieberstein to Biebers because he didn't want people to realize that who he was because, you know, he was fairly prominent as a fighter. And they were concerned about what the Nazis might do to his family, Nazis that survived. But then when he got older, when he got I would say in the 1990s, toward the latter part of his life, he became much more open and actually did the documentary for Steven Spielberg's Shoah Foundation. He participated in that. So then he began to open up. But even toward the end, there were things that he told me that were not revealed ever before other than to his immediate family. So they did want people to know, but for him it was really important that people would know that they fought back and didn't just submit like television always seems to show.
Yes. The book is Not Without a Fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance. D.W. Duke is our guest on the program, the author. His website is holocaustfighter.com, book available at Amazon, the usual places. Are there several stories from the book that you could share that would give us a flavor of what the family went through and their experience?
Yes, I could. There were quite a few stories, but there are several that people really like to hear. One of is what they did when they were working in the factory that made guns. Because of Cass's family, who they were, once he was in the ghetto, he was allowed to work in the factory. He didn't make any money, but at the same time, he wasn't sent off to the concentration camps, and at least they had food that way. So they were making these guns that the soldiers, the Nazi soldiers, would use when they were fighting the battles. And what they began doing was filing down the firing pin so that after a few weeks in the field, it would break and the gun wouldn't work. And for the longest time, the Nazis thought that it was the company that was producing the steel was producing defective steel. It never occurred to them that all these Jewish people working in the factory where the guns were actually made were the ones that were filing down the pin. To Cass, that was amusing. Also, the hand grenades. The hand grenades were supposed to have a 4.5-second fuse. They would put a 1-second fuse on it so it would blow up before the soldier could even throw it. And again, the Nazis never, ever thought that it was the Jewish people that were doing this. They simply assumed that it wasn't being thrown fast enough. So they began fighting back in their mind very early on in the war, even before they were put into a situation where they had to use their own weapons.
With us on the program is D.W. Duke. He's the author of Not Without a Fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance. So much more to talk about with D.W., and we'll do it after we pause for these messages. Welcome back. You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program, D.W. Duke, author of Not Without a Fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance. It's interesting because Cass's entire immediate family survived the Holocaust. They were right in the middle of it. They were resistance fighters. Why do you think they were able to survive?
Well, there are several reasons. One was Cass's mother was a very intelligent woman. She had a PhD in chemistry, and she was always doing things that was a step ahead of the Nazis. Where she would place the children in certain locations and move them when she saw the Nazis were coming in, different things, and they believed that that was a large part of it. Also, there was a Christian family that had befriended them prior to the war, and this family really helped them. When it came time to get out of the ghetto, they came in with a truck that had a toolboxes on each side of the truck with a fake flooring, and they were able to put them in under the flooring and put tools on top of them and smuggle them out two at a time over a period of several weeks. At that point, Cass chose to stay inside the ghetto. He was maybe 12 at that point, And the family wanted him to come out, but he had already decided he was going to fight. So the rest of the family left and got out of the ghetto, but he stayed and continued to fight. But it was largely this family, this Christian family, that helped them, as well as Irina, Kaz's mother, I think is probably primarily why they managed to survive.
Well, they survived, and after the war, tell us what happened after the war to the family.
Well, the father had, at the very beginning, he had come out, he had gotten to the United States because he was planning to then bring the family over. Of course, then they couldn't get out because of the invasion. So the family was stuck there till the end of the war. At the end, their property was confiscated from them, and they were able to get out by going through Switzerland. When they got to the United States, Cass, and at that point was a young teenager, he believed that everyone around him was a Nazi. He couldn't, because he lived under it for 7 years, he couldn't believe that there were people in the United States that were not Nazis. So as a young teenager, he was constantly getting into fights. And so the family sent him to live with their uncle, who had migrated to Canada. And he lived with him for a few years and became calmed down. And after that, he began to trust people more and then came back to the States and became an airplane mechanic, went to college and became an airplane mechanic and worked for a number of airlines. The other family members all became successful businessmen, some of them in lumber, and then one of them was involved in building airplane engines and things of that nature. So they did have a successful life once they got to the United States.
When you were doing the research, the studying for this book, and the book is Not Without a Fight by D.W. Duke. His website is holocaustfighter.com. Book available. You can order it there. Information on that website as well, Amazon, all the usual places. Did you ever come to an opinion as to what caused the Holocaust to occur, and could something like that happen again in a civilized world, do you think?
Yes, I did. You know, it's interesting. Until the past few years, I did not think it could occur in the United States. I now believe it could. It wouldn't necessarily be the Jewish people, but we could see that type of discrimination and type of abuse and violence toward people even here. There's something in human nature that no matter how good things look, it can fall to a depraved status. What was going on in Germany, of course, they had just come out of World War One. The Treaty of Versailles was bankrupting the nation, German people, with heavy taxation while they were trying to pay reparations. And they needed somebody to blame, and so the momentum was building against the Jewish people, and there was that forged document called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which was actually a forgery, but it talked about a plan of the Jewish people to essentially conquer the world. And with that information, Hitler was able to divide the population to get the different groups within Germany fighting with one another, and that allowed him to come to power, became president, and of course appointed himself as the absolute dictator, and the rest is history. But I think it's the deep political division, similar to what we have in the United States right now, that can give rise to this kind of demagoguery and severe human rights abuses.
You know, I'm like you. Years ago, I never would have thought this was possible. And then you sort of wonder as you're seeing things develop and you're thinking, could it be possible? With that in mind, what lessons from the Holocaust do you believe would be beneficial for us in the U.S. today that we should be aware of and thinking about and watching for?
Well, you know, I heard Dan Rather last night being interviewed by Don Lemon on CNN, and he talked about something that I've been mentioning for a long time. It seems that politicians on both parties are trying to divide the public. There's so much intensity. Identity politics is being played for all it's worth right now.
Yes.
And, of course, the problem is that gives us an us-versus-them mentality. The us-versus-them mentality is very dangerous. And it's something that we need to be aware of, because once you start singling out people for whether it's based on their gender, their religion, their race, whatever it may be, you start singling them out and then discriminating against them, then you've stepped across that line. Now there's no limit to how far the depraved human can go in you know, abusing other people. So I think for us, we need to try to get back to a balance, get rid of the extreme polarization that we have in America, and try to get back to a more common sense attitude toward who we are and what we want to accomplish with our lives and what we want to do for people.
Got a couple minutes left in the program. What is the future for this book, maybe other books that you're working on? And then talk briefly about Generation to Generation. This is a new documentary series and where people can follow this, an award-winning winner of 2 Award of Merit recognitions. First of all, with the book, what do you hope will happen with the book? And are you doing any other writing?
Yes, actually, the book is being made into a motion picture. We have a team put together that is helping accomplish that. We have financing available, and we will be going forward. Of course, the pandemic kind of put everything on hold temporarily, but we are still planning to move forward to make a motion picture out of the book. We are doing a documentary series called Generation to Generation. We've already produced the first episode. We're working on the second episode. And what we're doing is taking descendants of Holocaust survivors or the Holocaust survivors themselves, if they're still living, and we're telling their story. And the first one was about Cass. We're doing another one coming up. We're going to be filming in April. So we're telling the story of what these people experienced, because it is so important for people to know history. As John Stuart Mill and many others have said, when you don't know your history, you don't understand the pitfalls, and you make the same mistakes again. And, of course, George Hegel said, what we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history.
Exactly. Unfortunately, but true, yes.
but we need to have that. The young people today need to have that. And this book is being used in some high schools. In L.A. County, they're using it in some schools because the teachers see the importance of telling these stories and, learning what happened.
When you started this project, when you decided, I'm going to write this story, Not Without a Fight, did you realize how personally involved you would be in the story and passionate, and you can tell in your voice in telling these stories and following up with the motion picture? Did you have any idea this would become such an important part of your life?
Probably not to the extent that it has. Yeah. I had been working on, I'd done another one, similar, a biographical story about a family relative. And in my mind, I knew that it would be important, but I didn't realize how consuming it would be. And part of it because so many different people from around the world wanted to get involved in the project, and people just found out about it. For example, relatives of that Christian family that helped the Biebersteins read the book and contacted the publisher and said, we want to talk to these people. We know who they are, and they actually help us come to the United States. So I really didn't realize the extent of how deeply I would become involved in it, but it does seem to happen, and the other projects I'm working on as well, it does seem to pull you in like that.
The book is Not Without a Fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance. The author is D.W. Duke. The book is available at, of course, Amazon, the usual places. HolocaustFighter.com is DW's website. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I will mention that Duke grew up a native of Fort Wayne, Indiana, for many years, our home base for this particular program. So you're a Hoosier. You know all about Fort Wayne. And you mentioned that it's really sort of a neat little place to visit, isn't it? Not little anymore, but it's sort of a hidden gem in the Midwest.
It is. It is. And one of the things I really like is the courthouse.
The
Allen County Courthouse. And I've been to courthouses all over the world. And this is one of the most beautiful courthouses I've ever seen. The architecture is incredible. People in Fort Wayne, very kind people, just a very humble town. I really loved it there. I haven't lived there since I graduated from law school, since the 80s, but I still get back when I can, and it's a wonderful place to visit. I've actually thought about maybe doing some motion picture work there in some of the older houses. It would be a lot of fun, but I do love the city, and it's funny. We never met or had any contact when I was there, but Fort Wayne is kind of a place that I run into often where I meet people that say, I grew up in Fort Wayne, or I know the area.
Well, and I tell you, the downtown is taking on a life of its own down there. It's a town that's really on the grow in the Midwest. The hometown of D.W. Duke, our guest on the program. The book is Not Without a Fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance. Book available on his website, HolocaustFighter.com. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Much more will be coming out of this book, and we'll keep you posted on that here on the program. DW, thank you for joining us on the program. A job well done, a very powerful story well told. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, and I really appreciated the opportunity to be with you and talk about the book.
Well, looking forward to doing a follow-up as well, Not Without a Fight, the story of a Polish Jew's resistance, D.W. Duke. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.